Chapter 11. It was clear to me that the small creature had made its home inside the core of the machinery. It'd be easy to lure it out and then trap it, but I'd have to wear a pair of thick gloves to do so. I already knew that it wasn't some type of rabid squirrel or chipmunk. It had to be of magical origin, and that made me even more excited. God damn it! I can't trap it and take it back to camp now! There were too many people bustling around, and Josephine would certainly ask if I'd fixed the machine, but at least I'd figured out why the elevator wasn't working. The wires and gears surrounding the core were utterly fried and unusable, but I knew once I got the beast out and replaced everything, the lift would be back in working order. But will the movement of the elevator scare it away? I questioned, glanced up toward the shaft above my head, and then scoffed. No, if it hasn't already moved from this spot after everything they've done to try to fix it, it probably won't leave if I go back to the surface one more time. I glanced once more at the small, hissing beast, let go of the mechanical core, and climbed hand over hand back into the steel frame of the elevator. I closed the door slowly, locked it into place, stood, and then crossed toward the control panel. I jammed my finger against the up button, waited for a second, and listened to the loud groaning of the gears above my head. Slowly at first, the loose wire below me returned to its spool, and the elevator began to rise back toward the control room and the first level where I'd entered. Surprisingly, the elevator didn't give me much trouble on the way back up, but I kept my eyes glued toward the core below my feet in case the small creature attempted to escape. My heart hammered in my chest, and for the first time in months I realized it wasn't out of fear, but from excitement. If I managed to capture this magical beast, we'd only have to find another woman to experiment on. We knew what a mundane creature and a woman could make, but what could a magical creature and a woman make? The possibilities boggled my mind, but first I needed to capture the creature. And then I needed a woman. If I were to say these things out loud to any other person, they'd probably think I was absolutely out of my mind. I'm even talking to myself. That might be a sign, too. I snorted out a chuckle, lifted my head as the bright lights from above flickered one by one, and I knew I was near the opening of the shaft. Once I reached it, the elevator slowed to a stop, clanged pleasantly, wobbled once, and then held still. I stepped out onto the solid earth, glanced around, and then headed back toward the entrance. None of the workers bustled around the entrance into the mines, and I guessed that they'd return to their tents for the night since there was no work for them yet. I wasn't sure where Daisy and Josephine went, let alone where Valerie had slunk off to in the waning light. I assumed that the two aristocrats had headed back to Josephine's tent, the largest out of all of them, so I set my sights on it and headed straight for it. A voice shouted from behind me, and I whipped around. Val? I hissed into the darkness. Valerie!
Right here, Charles!
The feline woman giggled. Valerie appeared out of nowhere, threw out her arms, and launched herself at me. I couldn't help but chuckle as I opened my arms, braced my legs, and caught her midair. Where have you been all day? I asked.
Oh, you know. Around. Exploring, chasing butterflies in the field beyond the trees, going through people's tents, and looking for shiny things.
Val, I chided.
I know, but I didn't find anything interesting in the workers' tents. I did look through Josephine's tent while Josephine was showing Daisy around, and I found a lot of interesting things.
You shouldn't have done that. It's not very polite. And what would have happened if you were caught?
But I wasn't. I left as soon as I heard their voices approaching. No one saw me or even suspected that I was there. I even found this.
Valerie reached behind her back, grabbed the pack she'd slung over her shoulder, and then rummaged inside of it. The feline woman found what she was looking for, grinned widely, and then pulled out a weathered-looking leather-bound book. What is it? I asked. A book?
A naughty book.
Valerie giggled.
I peeked inside, and it has all sorts of dirty things inside.
What do you mean? I asked, took the book from her, and flipped through the pages.
It's like a regular book, like the ones you have in your house. but there's lots of sex in it, even pictures, too. Why would Josephine have such a thing? Here, read this passage. The man is inside of the woman, but he's telling her how much he's in love with her. How can that be? Men and women aren't allowed that.
Well, from the looks of it, this book is old, like centuries old, probably from before women manifested powers.
But why would Josephine have this? Wouldn't books like this have been outlawed or burned, something like that?
Most likely, I shrugged. Maybe Josephine managed to get her hands on this one by accident.
No, not just one. She had a whole trunk of them, hundreds of them, all stacked on top of each other. They all looked like this, old, smelly, and worn. Some of them were even crudely sewn back together. She must like them a lot.
Oh, then you should put this back, I stated.
What? No, she has so many. I want to read this one. Plus, why would she even have these if she finds men disgusting? These books are all full of mushy, gushy stuff about love and sex. As an aristocrat, she wouldn't be interested in that stuff.
Maybe she just likes the stuff, I asked. If she has so many of them, she must enjoy reading them.
But isn't it illegal?
The beautiful woman asked.
You'd think this is something they certainly wouldn't allow to be passed around among the aristocrats.
I know for sure they were outlawed, but I genuinely doubt if they've come back into style. Certainly not something like this. It's too old and beaten up.
Well, you'd think if they were back in style,
the feline woman exhaled,
you'd think that they'd been more geared toward aristocratic things, like consorts and generally being unagreeable.
I'm not sure. I sighed, took the book from her, and turned it over in her hands. But I don't think we'll find out unless we ask her directly. Then we'd have to explain how we got the book in our possession. And ultimately, we'd have to tell her about you. See how that works out? We can't do that. You need to get that back in her trunk somehow by the end of tonight or by tomorrow.
No!
Valerie whined.
I want to keep it and get ideas for the two of us.
That's a nice idea, but it's not yours. You need to put it back, tonight or tomorrow, do you understand?
Yes,
the blonde pouted. Valerie grabbed the book back, gazed down at it lovingly, pushed out her delicious lips into a pout, sighed softly under her breath, and then tucked it back into the brown pack at her waist. I knew how badly she wanted to keep it, but if Josephine found out it had gone missing, I'm sure that the aristocrat would tear the whole camp apart to find it. If Josephine had so many of them, as Valerie had said, they must have been the aristocrat's most prized possessions, and she'd know the moment they were missing.
Oh, Charles!
Valerie grinned.
Did you fix whatever was in the elevator?
Not yet, but I found something, and I'm going to go get Daisy so I can tell you both about it. Stay here. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Valerie smiled.
Hurry back!
I nodded once, turned on my heels, headed for the tent, and cleared my throat once I stood outside of the flap. Hello? I called.
Oh, Charles!
Josephine cried.
Come in, come in. Daisy was just telling me the story of how you two met.
I lifted the flap and light flooded out onto the patch of sickly grass I stood on. A wave of heat from inside washed over me, so I stepped inside, blinked, and then gazed down at the two women as they sat in comfortable-looking chairs. Josephine's tent looked almost like a miniature house with a large table, heavy with food, a few chairs, a small wood-burning stove, two armchairs, and in the distance, a small, comfortable-looking bedroom shrouded in long swatches of sheer fabric. Josephine leaned back in her chair, a full glass of wine in one hand, and a small triangle-cut sandwich in the other. The moment her eyes settled on me, her round, childlike cheeks flushed pink, and giggles bubbled up her throat.
I just think it's so romantic,
the blonde gushed.
Seeing him out on the street and just knowing that was the one you wanted. I haven't had that yet, but I like to imagine it a lot. Finding a consort that fits perfectly into your life. I've dreamed about that day all my life.
Have you?
Daisy asked.
I've had a few consorts here and there back home, but never one that I truly enjoyed having around. Well, except for Charles. He's the exception.
You've never dreamed about meeting a brute?
Josephine hiccuped.
And taking him home, cleaning him up, and making him like new? Maybe, teaching him things? Sharing conversations with him? You've never thought about that?
Almost every word that slipped out of her mouth was slurred, and it was clear to me that Josephine had far too much to drink. I smiled gently down at her, nodded once, and then took the full glass from her hands. Josephine, why don't we get you to bed? It's quite late, and I'm sure you'd like to be well rested tomorrow when I finally fix your elevator.
You can fix it?
The blonde shouted.
That's wonderful news! Charles, I'm so happy that you can. I knew you were the man for the job.
Yes, ma'am, but let's get you into bed first. I have important things to discuss with Miss Browning.
Oh, no!
The blonde gulped.
Don't take Daisy away. I loved speaking to her so much. I want her to stay.
It's quite all right, Miss Josephine.
Daisy breathed.
You'll see me all day tomorrow while Charles fixes your elevator. I'm sure we'll get along handsomely.
Oh, I'm sure we will.
Josephine blubbered.
I'm sure. Yes, Charles. I'll retire to my bedroom for the night.
The blonde climbed out of her chair with some difficulty, wavered on her feet for a second, giggled loudly, and then tripped toward her bedroom at the back of her pavilion. I rushed forward, grabbed her by the arm, held her steady, and Josephine leaned her head back with a loud sigh. The blonde held on to me for a moment as she breathed heavily, and her cat-like orange eyes widened on my face.
You know, Charles,
Josephine slurred.
I never knew what you looked like until that day we met you in the town square.
Yes, I tend to keep to myself and stay in my laboratory experimenting.
I thought you were so handsome,
Josephine murmured.
You have the prettiest hazel eyes. I'm surprised I hadn't noticed it until now. My heart beats fast just looking at you. I know Adelia and Liliana thought it too, but they'd never admit it aloud. Which is surprising, because the two of them keep the most stunning consorts in all of the lands. The only rivals they had were Delphine's, but sadly, bless her heart, she has moved on to the next life. I pray that her consorts find better mistresses. We all knew how horribly she treated them. Why didn't any of us stop her?
Miss Josephine, I'm sure it's the drink talking for you, but you shouldn't say things like that. Someone might believe that you're a harlot, someone who wishes to overthrow the matriarchy.
Did I really sound like that?
Josephine gasped.
Yes,
Daisy agreed.
You're not going to Edney, are you? I'll be stripped of my wealth, my home, my titles, and then I can't take care of my mother. Oh, my! What possessed me just now to say all those things? Oh, stupid, stupid Josephine!
We won't tell the Duchess. We only believe that you should be more careful. What if you'd said those things in front of Liliana and Adelia? They'd tell Edeny for sure, without question.
Oh, then there's no need to worry. I never spend much time with those dingbats. I only was there when we met you because they saw me in the street and invited me over. Edeny and Hortensia were right, though. They are busybodies, and they say such hurtful things to me about my money. Even after I loaned Adelia money to help remodel her manor, they turn around and backstab me. What horrible people! All these women, like vipers behind your back and like flowers to your face. I hate it.
I helped Josephine into her room, laid her down onto the bed, covered her up with the blankets, and didn't hear a peep from her after that. I moved away from the bed, glanced over my shoulder at her, but the blonde had already closed her eyes and snuggled deep underneath the comforter. Let's go. I have important things to tell you.
Okay, Charles.
Daisy nodded.
Do you think Miss Josephine will be all right? She was quite drunk.
She should be fine. I think she passed out the moment her head touched the pillow. I led Daisy out of the tent, glanced around the small outcropping of worker tents, and then headed toward the area where I'd last seen Valerie. Val! I whispered into the darkness. Are you there?
Over here!
The ash blonde woman waved from atop a pile of barrels. Valerie pressed her hands to the lid of the barrel, launched herself forward, rolled herself into a ball, hit the ground, and then bounced against the hard ground a few times before she came to a stop at our feet. The catgirl unfurled herself, giggled softly, tucked her legs underneath her, and jumped to her feet.
The news, Charles! Tell us the news!
Yes, Charles,
the brunette whispered.
Did you fix the elevator? Or at least find out what was causing it to malfunction?
Yes. It's not what I thought it was.
Is something wrong with the wiring?
Daisy asked.
Or the control panels Mr. Bronson told us about?
None of those things. There's a creature living inside of the main mechanical core.
A creature?
Valerie tilted her head.
Like a squirrel or something? I know that those make nests in odd places. Do you know how many squirrels I caught while they were building nests in chimneys? 5, at least. Oh, man, they were so tasty. I would die for some squirrel meat right now.
Nope, it's definitely not a squirrel. I think it's a magical beast.
What did it look like?
Daisy grinned.
Can you describe it to me?
Small, like the size of an adolescent cat. Reddish skin, horns, a pair of tattered-looking wings, and a long whip-like tail with a pointed tip.
Like an arrow?
Yes, it looked almost exactly like an arrow.
Well, I've practically memorized all of the books I found in your house.
Daisy smiled.
So, I know a lot of the creatures that roam around this area and beyond. That sounds a lot like an imp, especially since it's a subterranean creature and it made a nest within the core.
An imp?
Valerie wrinkled her nose.
What is that?
A small mischievous devil that lives underground,
Daisy spouted off.
They generally only come out at night to wreak havoc, and then they return to their holes at night.
Going off the description alone, it definitely sounds like an imp.
So what do we do now?
Well, I certainly couldn't bring it back up here with me while all the other workers were bustling around, especially if Josephine was still awake. But since everyone is tucked away for the night, I should be able to go back down, trap it, and then stow it away in our wagon for the night. The elevator should be fairly easy to fix. I just have to replace some wires, gears, and mechanicals, but the biggest problem is getting the imp out of the main core.
Do you need us to help you?
Valerie offered.
I'm sure I could do it. I'm pretty slinky and sneaky. That imp won't know what hit him.
Yes, I'd love to let you help me, but there's barely enough room down there for me to work around the core. You could stay in the elevator and help me, but you can't go down to the biggest machine. I don't want you getting hurt.
What about me, Charles?
Daisy asked.
Is there anything I can do to help?
No, I'll only need Valerie's help. So you could just stay by the entrance and wait for us there.
Oh, Charles! Tell Daisy about the book we found.
Book?
The gorgeous brunette echoed.
What book?
While Josephine was touring you around the camp, Valerie found something. Here, Val, show her what you found. The beautiful cat girl reached into her pack, grabbed the book she'd shown me, and then offered it to Daisy with a flourish. The brunette's eyebrows knit together in confusion. She turned it over in her hands, flipped through the pages, and then flushed bright pink in the gloom surrounding us.
What on earth is this?
The bear girl gasped.
It's downright pornographic. You said you found this in Josephine's tent?
Yep. It was locked away in a trunk with a whole bunch of other ones. Josephine must really like these naughty books.
Makes sense, though,
Daisy muttered.
With all of the things she was just saying, Charles, do you think she could be a male sympathizer? I was so surprised she said those things to you. No other aristocrat would let their tongue slip like that, let alone be attracted to a brute so openly.
As much as I'd like to say yes, we can never have a definite answer unless she gives it to us freely. Yes, she sounded like a sympathizer, but who knows? She was drunk, and drunk aristocrats say a lot of things.
Drunk words are sober thoughts,
Valerie quipped.
That's what A.B. told me, and I believe it.
I believe it, too,
the bear girl confirmed.
In all of your life, Charles, with all of the aristocrats you've encountered, have you ever heard one spout things off as Josephine just did? I may not have been in this world for long, but from my experience with other aristocrats, they'd never say the things that Josephine just did.
I know, but we can't go forward believing that she's on our side, do you understand? We can't make allies with someone who hasn't shown us their stance. We have no other choice than wait it out, to interact with her more, and find out how she feels on the subject. I don't want any of us to jump to conclusions just because she has a few tawdry romance books and sympathizer ideologies.
You're right, Charles,
the stunning brunette insisted.
We can only wait, find out more about her, and then see where it goes. But I honestly believe that she would make a good candidate for our next monster girl.
You're right. You're absolutely right. But she hasn't done anything wrong. Josephine has been nothing but kind to us from the moment that we met her. And all three of us know that we don't choose women on those criteria. We use women that are direct threats to us. Just like with the prisoner I used, and Delphine. I hate to sound like a broken record, but we can't go around snatching innocent women off the street.
We understand.
Daisy nodded, looped her arm into Valerie's, and then stood firm.
It's your decision who we choose and why, especially if our family is in danger.
Thank you. Now, I need to go back down into the elevator before the imp gets scared and moves its location. Valerie, do you still want to help me?
Yeah!
The feline woman giggled.
That imp down there is going to be half of my new sister. Of course I want to help.
I'll stand by the entrance into the mine,
Daisy urged. I couldn't help but smile at the stunning brunette's enthusiasm, and I was so happy that the two of them took pride in my work. I'd never felt this way before. In all of my life, no one had supported me the way the two of them did. Yes, I'd had Edenie's patronage, but the leader of Edenheart had never congratulated me or cheered me on, only chastised me or threatened me into working harder.
What are you going to trap it in, Charles?
Daisy asked.
We didn't think we'd find a mystical creature here in the mines, so we didn't bring anything along with us.
Oh, I know!
The feline woman chirped.
I saw these small metal boxes over there by the pile of barrels. I'm sure that Josephine and the workers wouldn't notice if just one went missing. They're all piled up haphazardly, so I'm sure they don't have a ledger with their amounts anywhere.
Yes, that sounds like an excellent idea. Can you show me where they are? The boxes that Valerie spoke about were right around the corner. I knelt down beside one, turned it over on its side, flipped it over, and then opened it up. The boxes were made from heavy iron with corrugated screws on the outside, but inside it was lined with soft, smooth brown fabric. I think they're used for transporting precious metals or diamonds, I explained. That's why the insides are lined with the fabric, so that if they were transporting precious jewels, they wouldn't bump against the solid metal.
There's also a locking mechanism,
Valerie pointed out.
That could come in handy with the imp.
Yes, this'll do nicely. Here, Valerie, carry this down, and I'll grab the toolbox. Once we get the imp inside, I'll have to fix the core right after. I can't just take the imp and not do what Josephine paid me to do.
What a happy accident!
The ash-blonde woman bubbled.
I'm so glad we came here. If we hadn't, we wouldn't have found the first half of our new sister. Oh, Daisy, I'm so excited. I was so happy when you were created. I can't wait for you to experience that feeling, too.
I'm sure when we have all of the components ready for the next experiment,
Daisy whispered,
our newest sister will be welcomed into our arms with love and acceptance. I will love her as I love you, Valerie. But not in the same way that we both love Charles. That is a different emotion entirely.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree.
Valerie nodded.
I love you like a sister, but I love Charles in a totally different way. He gives me such good feelings in my heart, in my tummy, in my womanhood.
Well, that's enough of that, I stammered, felt heat blooming across my face, and glanced toward the mines nervously. Why don't we get start?
I've yet to experience that pleasure,
Daisy breathed.
Though I've noticed a change within my body when Charles is close to me. A new need. It's almost like hunger or thirst. But it starts in my lower abdomen, just below my belly button, and works its way downward. I want to say it's almost like a burning sensation. But not unpleasant. In fact, it's quite pleasant. And I don't mind it. Do you understand what I mean, Valerie?
Oh, yes!
The ash-blonde woman nodded.
That's arousal, Daisy! Oh, this is so exciting! It's finally happening! Just wait, Daisy. Charles will show you a new type of love. Not one of affectionate words, but of physical touches. Oh, just thinking about it makes me all gooey inside.
Ladies, I choked out. This isn't the best place to be discussing our intimate times together.
You're right, Charles.
Valerie giggled.
I'm just so excited for Daisy. I hope it happens soon.
I snickered softly, grabbed the box, lifted it, and then offered it to Valerie. The blonde took it from my hands, held it tightly to her chest, grinned, and then gestured with her head toward the entrance to the mine.
Shall we get going? We've got an important mythical creature waiting for us.
All three of us headed toward the mine. Daisy kept an eye out for any movement from the workers' tents, and Valerie skipped alongside us. I felt giddy. We were on the cusp of a third experiment once we captured the imp, and then a new monster girl would be born into the world. Once we reached the entrance to the mine, Daisy stepped surely to the wooden struts opening the shaft, leaned against it, and then gazed out over the encampment. The brunette grinned, nodded to Valerie and me, and then gestured with her right hand for us to enter. The cat girl and I hurried in, glanced over our shoulders, and then raced toward the enormous elevator. I hastily snatched up the toolbox I'd set down, gripped it in my hand, and then grabbed Valerie's in the other.
Do you have to go all the way down to where it malfunctions, or can we grab it here? If the core is underneath the elevator cage, then you should be able to just go under and grab it, right?
You're right. I'd hate to go all the way down there for no reason. The malfunction is horrible. I don't know how Josephine's men worked in these conditions. I thought the whole elevator was going to break free from the wires and plummet me down to the bottom to my death. I calmly walked into the elevator, glanced below my feet toward the silent core, knelt down, snapped open the toolbox, and grabbed a pair of thick work gloves. I hastily slipped them on, grabbed the rope I'd left tied to the wall, cinched it around my waist, and then glanced up at Valerie. All right, I'm going to go open the door and then go down, I explained. I want you to stay at the edge with the box open. I'll grab the imp in my right hand, climb up, and throw it into the box. When it's inside, I want you to snap it shut immediately. We don't want our little friend escaping right when we have it in our clutches. Do you understand?
Yes, Charles,
Valerie confirmed.
I'll keep the box open and then slam it shut as soon as it's inside. Soon, I'll have another sister.
All right. Fantastic. I'm opening the door now. Here I go. The trap door creaked open with the loud sound of unoiled hinges. I gritted my teeth, glanced down at the silent core, and waited for the imp to come screeching out. It didn't happen, and I had to wonder if the beast had escaped already. But there was only one sure way to tell. I lowered myself down the ladder slowly, glanced up at Valerie once, turned myself around, reached out for the core with one hand, and then jumped off. I swung completely weightless at the end of the rope for a second before my momentum caught up with me, and I gripped surely onto the mechanical core. I panted softly for a moment as I leaned my head back, glanced up at the open door into the elevator, and then gazed toward the empty space in the middle of the core. The shaft was completely silent except for the pounding of my heart in my ears, and my spirits fell immediately. Oh, maybe the imp had had enough of workers probing their hands into his nest and left after I'd reached in. I calmed my heart, sucked in a deep breath, clamped my mouth closed, and edged my way around the core toward the area I'd been in earlier.
"Is it in there?"
Valerie whispered.
"Or did it escape?"
I opened my mouth to speak, but a sound erupted up from the middle of the core that made relief rush through my entire body. The telltale hissing and yowling was back, and we knew for sure that the imp hadn't escaped. Oh, thanks, science. It's still here. Get ready, Val. I'm going to grab it.
Ready!
The blonde chimed. All right, here goes nothing. I plunged my hand forward through the mass of tangled, burned wires, smudged gears, and reached directly into the middle of the core. The imp shrieked, scuttled away from my probing hand, and I pressed myself against the massive core as I reached in deeper. Finally, my probing hand closed around what I assumed was the small creature's middle. I clamped down on it, felt the tattered wings fold underneath my fingers, and pulled back slowly so as not to injure our precious new creature. The imp grabbed onto the wires and gears for purchase, but it was no use. I was too big and strong for it to resist. I felt its teeth bite into the fabric of my glove, but they weren't strong enough to puncture through the thick cloth, and it seemed only to enrage the small beast even more. I pulled my arm all the way back and stared down at the small, hissing creature in my hand. It was just as Daisy had described. The skin was reddish, almost a deep scarlet with ashy gray hues to it. Its bright orange eyes were like that of a cat's, and its wings wiggled agitatedly in my grip as it attempted to break free. Its tiny clawed hands ripped at the fabric of my glove. It lunged forward and sunk its teeth in again and again, but it was no use. I didn't have much time to admire the little beast. I had to get back up to the elevator cage and safely get into the box we'd prepared, which looked much harder than it sounded. I needed to jump back to the ladder, climb up one-handed with the struggling creature, and throw it into the box before Valerie closed it.
"Charles?"
Valerie called.
"I'm coming."
In quick succession, I let go of the core, slammed my boots against the metal mechanisms, and flew forward on the rope with my left hand extended. My heart pounded in my chest. I gritted my teeth as I reached out, and then I closed my fingertips around one of the rungs of the ladder. A loud sigh escaped my lips. I hung my head back, breathed heavily, glanced down at the still struggling imp, and then back up toward the door above my head.
"Get ready!"
I shouted. My boots slammed against the rungs of the ladder as I used my left hand to climb upward. The imp screamed louder, fought against me even wilder, and I wasn't sure how much longer I'd be able to keep a hold on the creature. My hand tightened on the imp. I forced myself up even higher, nearly running up the ladder, and as I neared the door, I lifted my right hand above my head.
"Here, Charles!"
Valerie cried. The feline woman held the box at the base with one hand, while she kept the lid open with the other. Her blue eyes were wide with a mixture of excitement and fear, and as I slammed my boot down on the last rung, I tossed the imp into the confines of the box. The little red beast hit the cushioned bottom of the box, laid there for a second, jumped to its feet, and leapt toward the opening. But before it could clamber out, Valerie snapped the lid closed.
"Ha! Gotcha!"
the feline woman cackled. The beautiful blonde slid the lock into place with a snap, sat back on her haunches, and then offered me a petite hand.
"Thanks. I thought for sure it was going to get away. The goddamn thing kept wriggling around in my grip. I don't know how I got it up here without letting go."
Valerie pulled me back up into the elevator cage, closed the metal door with her foot, scrambled toward me, and threw her arms around my shoulders. The feline woman pressed herself into me fully, breathed into my ear, and then pressed soft kisses to my cheeks.
"We did it! No, you did it, Charles! That was amazing! And scary! Oh, I'm so happy!"
As the initial adrenaline wore off, I collapsed to the floor with Valerie pressed into my chest, and I stared up at the darkness above our heads. I felt invigorated, but unbelievably tired at the same time, and I wanted nothing more than to fall into bed in our tent and never crawl out.
Ugh. We need to get this into the bed of the wagon. Then I'd like to go to bed.
I don't want to go to bed yet,
Valerie pouted.
Can I stay up a bit longer? I'd like to explore more of the camp.
Yeah, just as long as you aren't seen. I'll repair the elevator tomorrow. It shouldn't take very long. All I have to do is replace some wires and gears, and then it should run smoothly again.
Valerie lifted herself up with her palms resting against the metal flooring at either side of my head. She leaned down, pressed her plump lips to mine, and pressed her body fully against me.
My hands wandered over her for a moment, and her tongue slipped into my mouth and intertwined with mine. I groaned against her, but pulled away with a soft chuckle as I gazed up into her eyes.
Let's get this finished up, I smiled.
All right, Charles,
Valerie purred.
There were a few things I didn't get to go through earlier, and I'd love to rummage through them now.
No more stealing,
I laughed, gripped the box by the edges, and lifted it as I stood. You should also put that book back before Josephine wakes up from her drunken stupor.
Fine,
the blonde grumbled.
I was hoping you'd forget about it, but I'll put it back. I know Josephine will miss it if she doesn't find it in the trunk. Even though I've never met her, I don't want her to be sad.
That's very sweet of you. I'm sure if she knew, she'd be grateful. Valerie and I exited the elevator, hurried down the darkened shaft toward the entrance, and then stepped out into the moonlight. Daisy jumped at the sight of us, sighed out of relief, eyed the box suspiciously, and then tiptoed closer.
Is that it?
The bear girl asked.
The imp is inside?
Yes, we got it.
Before long, we'll have another sister,
Daisy whispered.
The thought of it is so exciting.
Yes, we're not entirely ready for it to happen yet, but I'm excited too. She'll be here before long, don't worry.
See, Daisy? This is how I felt when Charles said we were going to create you. Getting a brand new sister is so much fun. You get to show them things, teach them even, and it's so fantastic. My favorite part was watching Charles do the examination on you, and we got to hear all of the amazing traits you have. Just wait until she comes. We get to watch it together.
Yes, that sounds wonderful,
the brunette breathed.
I like the idea of expanding our family, Charles.
Me too. All right, I'm going to go put this in the wagon. Valerie is going to explore the camp before bed. What are you going to do, Daisy?
I'll retire to our tent, too.
The bear girl sighed.
The workers set it up for us earlier today, and Josephine even provided us with a large bed for the night, so we don't have to sleep on the cold, hard ground. I'm quite tired, and I'd like to lay down for a while.
Okay, I'll meet you there, I nodded. Val, don't get into too much trouble, and stay out of sight.
I will, Charles,
the feline woman bubbled.
Promise, I urged.
I promise.
The cat girl turned away from Daisy and me, bent her knees with her tail swishing out behind her, leapt forward, and disappeared off into the darkness.
Would you like some help, Charles?
The bear girl asked.
I can help you carry the box to the wagon if you'd like.
No, it's quite all right. It's not heavy at all. You should go and get some rest. I'll be there in a minute.
Okay, Charles.
The gorgeous brunette breathed, stepped closer, and pressed a passionate kiss to my lips.
Good night. I'll see you in a bit.
I nodded, turned toward the area where I'd left our wagon, and walked through the dim moonlight. It didn't take me long to find it, and once I did, I hoisted the box up, slid it underneath the driver's seat, and covered it with a brown tarp. The box was nearly invisible against the other bags and boxes of supplies in the bed, and I stepped back and admired my work for a moment. I needed sleep, especially if I was going to fix the elevator tomorrow morning and then head straight to the way station. I was nervous about switching out the letters, but I was sure after everything else we'd been through, we certainly could do this feat. I tapped the tarp-covered box with my knuckles, listened to the soft, tired squeaks from inside, smiled softly and then turned toward the direction of our tent. Since it was the second largest tent in the valley, it was pretty easy to spot, and I headed for it with sleep heavy on my mind. I wasn't sure where Valerie had gone, but I was sure she was off rummaging through someone else's belongings, and I only hoped that she'd put Josephine's book back where she found it. I lifted the flap, slipped inside of the tent with a loud sigh, kicked off my shoes, turned, and then froze at the sight in front of me. Daisy laid spread out on the bedsheets with her smooth legs pressed together, her ribcage tilted upward, and her right arm crooked behind her head. The brunette was utterly naked, and I drank in the smooth, pale flesh of her petite body as my penis hardened in my trousers. Her eyes fluttered open, their honey-colored pupils rested against my face, and her plump, moist lips parted.
Daisy?
I choked out. The brunette rolled onto her stomach, lifted her hips slightly, and I stared at the perfect round slope of her flawless ass. Her large breasts pressed into the sheets of the bed. She threw back her head, ran a hand through her short brown hair, and then moaned airily.
That sensation is back, Charles. It happens every time I look at you now. Won't you help me out? I think I need what Valerie keeps talking about. I need you to touch me.
And I need to touch you, I replied.